Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. A good guest. I think you're really going to like this. A fellow certified financial planner and a chartered financial analyst, that's CFA. Liz Miller is on the program with me today. Welcome, Liz.
Hi, David. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad you're on the program. And you're not just on the program because you're a fellow certified financial planner like me, but you have, you've got quite a stack of, resume, education, experience, and on top of all that, you're an author. The website is clutterfreewealth.com, and the book is by the same name, Clutter Free Wealth. And is that available on your website and probably on Amazon and all those kinds of websites as well?
Exactly. You can buy it directly off of us, but our website also will just link you to your favorite Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you'd like to get it. And we have the Kindle and Nook edition out there as well.
All right. You even got it on wallpaper, toilet paper, whatever people want to read, right?
Absolutely.
All right. My listeners, Liz, are used to hearing me talk about a lot of different topics. And of course, they know my favorite topic is dealing with simplifying your financial life, making good decisions. So talk to us a little bit about your background and what you're doing with your book so they can say, hey, this is something I need to read in addition to David's books and the other books he recommends.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I came to the planning advisory business through a long Wall Street career. I started in the mid-'80s doing mergers and acquisitions, and I did a stint at Oppenheimer Mutual Funds as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it was when I was running the mutual funds, I realized I really wanted to get more into working directly with clients. So over now going on 20 years working with clients and families, I just realized they were coming to me with more and more questions about other parts of their life. And at that point, I was primarily an investment advisor. We managed their assets. We didn't do planning around that. But they were coming to me with questions about, you know, do we need a trust? How do we make a loan for a house to these kids? Should we do a family foundation? And I realized there was this big gulf out there for successful families to get coordinated advice. You know, they had an accountant, they had usually a trust and estate attorney, but nobody was helping them think about it the way planners do across all the different pieces and bring that advice together. And when I started Summit Place Financial Advisors, it was with a specific goal to fill that gap and help people bring this together and simplify all the things they were trying to decide.
Yeah, because it's a lot. And, you know, I had, in fact, that strikes me. I had somebody come in the other day and you know, we got to talking and I usually spend an hour with somebody before I see, make sure it's a good fit for them, make sure it's a good fit for us. And what I quickly realized is exactly what you're talking about, Liz. They had things kind of, all these different questions, and it ended up being that they really didn't need my help other than just to kind of give them some general direction. Because there's so many different things that people don't know how to do or what to do. Like you said, you mentioned attorneys and coordinating with accountants. And that's the work of a financial planner, is to be kind of a coordinator or dot connector or an air traffic controller, whatever way you want to look at it.
Exactly. And in the book, we talk about finding your quarterback and building that team of professionals. You know, we have a gulf in our industry, and we know we have a very complicated industry. It's so hard for investors to find the right piece of advice because we use about 15 to 20 different titles, and we're not real good about helping people figure out what all those titles do. So we do have an entire chapter in the book about how to build your team. And when you reached a certain amount of success, it does get more complicated. And you do look up one day and realize maybe you have accounts three different places and no one's helping you bring the big picture together. You've got accounting issues. You've got tax issues. And maybe you do have to start thinking about some estate planning issues. You certainly need to think about overall risk and insurance. So we do talk about how do you build that team and how do you find the quarterback, the trusted advisor, the air traffic controller, as you said.
Well, you know, you mentioned having accounts in different places. I don't know if you have, if you've got off the top of your head a record. My record so far is I had a client come in one time and they had accounts, 30 different accounts, 30.
I cannot beat that. I think my record's 14.
Okay. And I said, okay, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go from 30 to 7. But that's, again, that's just one thing that a financial planner does. And this, a lot of this is in your book, which I'm looking forward to getting a copy. I don't think I've seen a copy come in the office yet, but if I can't wait to look at it because I know it's going to be great. Clutterfreewealth.com. So they go to the website. There's a way they can order it right online.
Yes, Yes, and you can read the opening, you know, there's a, you know, look inside kind of feature, read the first chapter, get some advice. And the book opens with exactly what you were just talking about. You know, we talk about the cluttered garage and how it's so hard to face that, even though we need to. And that's what happens, I believe, with a lot of investors. And certainly it sounds like your clients and some of the prospects that come to me, they come to me with a spreadsheet of 8 different labels across the top, and they want to share this information. And I wouldn't want to have to keep track of it that way. But no. There's all these different pieces that hold us back from clearing out that clutter. And the book offers a step-by-step practical way to get over some of the obstacles that stop us from facing it. And hopefully by the end of the book, you've got a much simpler approach, those 30 to 7 accounts, maybe even less than that. And along the way, we also put on top of that a real process for figuring out what it is you want to do with this money. What really are your goals, instead of getting caught up in, well, I'm not sure which account outperformed the market this month, so that you can get off of that roller coaster and say, I know exactly where I'm going, and I've been tracking my progress there, and, you know, I don't care what the market did today. No, I'm on track for what's important in my life.
Very good, Liz. Liz Miller's our guest today. CFA, that's a chartered financial analyst, a certified financial planner. The website is clutterfreewealth.com. Short break. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Liz Miller is on the line. She's not in the studio, but she's on the line with me, and she's a CFA and a certified financial planner. The website, clutterfreewealth.com. We'll try to avoid one of these mutual admiration events, if you will, Liz, where we congratulate each other on the things that we do, because I can tell you do a lot of those things that I do working with people and trying to guide them. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, you know, we talked before the break about how to make sure you got the right team. How do you give people, and I'm sure you talk about this in the book, how do you give people a better sense of control?
Well, I think control comes through that goal process. I think one of the reasons people feel they've lost control is they're not sure what they're judging. And finances are so important to us, and so we want to be able to judge it. We want to know, am I doing this right? And I think we get caught up in all the wrong ways to assess it. So I think that you find that comfort and control when you can look up with confidence and say, here's the 3 things we've agreed we're trying to achieve, and here's how I know we've positioned ourselves to achieve them.
So it's not just about saying, hey, somebody needs to manage my money, or even consolidate so that somebody manages my money and I know that they've got my interest as number one on their list, but it's also about being able to focus on the right things that need to be done and how to measure the results. And it's not just performance.
Absolutely. I think that I don't want to minimize performance.
No.
I think any prospect would be upset by that thought, and any client would, and of course we're not. But what's the performance that's important? We've all been at the cocktail parties, talked about the great stock that tripled, looked for the next great idea, and that's all great in upmarket. You know, we want all of the market upside, and we want absolutely none of the market downside, and we know that that's impossible. So historically, our industry talks about that in terms of risk and reward, and there's nothing wrong with that. But my approach says it's not about was the market up today or was the market down. It's about whether we know we're on track for the goals that we want and how we can achieve those through different markets. And if in an up market, you're doing better than you need to achieve your goals, then you know you've got the room for the downtime, because we know the markets are going to be cyclical. They're going to be up and down, and no one can afford to be shooting the moon at any point.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because as you were explaining that, I was thinking, well, you know, the thing that's funny, and this is to the listeners, for Liz and I, these kinds of things are funny, is sometimes people will look at, you know, you're already saying, hey, look, you're ahead of schedule. That's great, because there may be downtimes. But sometimes investors will say, well, okay, my account's up, Now that's my new floor. So in other words, if I come down off of this really high peak, well, then I've lost money. Well, no, you're still ahead. But people get fixated on the highest point their account has ever been.
Exactly. And, you know, we have a chart in the book that's exactly what we do at the firm, which is we help clients from day one track that. And so coming out of 2008, you know, I'm very proud to say we didn't lose any clients. But more importantly than that, I think we didn't have any clients that were torn dramatically.
Yeah,
we were
able
to look at where they'd come from and where they were and say, okay, we've dropped back 3 years. You know, this account is looking like it did in 2006. But
right.
We had the graph. We'd been tracking all along, what's it going to take to get to the goal and how are we doing along the way? And I think being able to visually see that was a huge comfort to clients. And we continue to do that. And certainly we know the markets since then have been both volatile and less than exciting. So it's been equally important to just keep seeing how you're doing along the track to what those personal goals are.
Well, that's perfect, Liz. And you're just joining us. Liz Miller's on the phone with us. She's a CFA, a CFP, an author. Clutterfreewealth.com is the website where you can find information on the book. One of the things that you made me just think about is, you know, when there's so many choices or so many decisions, as it seems, for people to make, and they're, you know, we're all bombarded by, you know, what seems like millions of decisions that we need to make and so much information coming at us from all directions. How do people make the right decisions when, you know, it seems like okay, the past is the past, but there's decisions that are big and they're difficult right in front of them? How do we as financial planners guide them to do that?
Well, I think it is our job to be very clear in explaining things and trying to simplify. It's funny you say that because the book opens up with a discussion of, you know, what's gotten us to this point, and part of it certainly is the explosion of product. And I firmly believe most of it we don't need to achieve our goals. I really do try to keep the investment strategy clean and simple. And I've lived by the mantra, if I can't explain it to my mother, I certainly am not going to suggest it to anybody else. And I think that can keep you pretty safe when you think about it that way. But it is our job to thoroughly make sure our clients understand, you know, what the choices are and why they may or may not be a good fit.
Well said. Liz Miller's our guest. We're going to take a quick break, come back. I want to turn our attention, Liz, to addressing the areas of risk that people have with their money and how we can help them identify and deal with them. So stay right there, listeners. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back with Liz Miller. She's a CFP and a CFA. She's written a book, which I understand what the hell that's about. How did you write yours? Did you take time off from work or hide, or what did you do, Liz? How did you write yours?
You know, I blocked it off on the calendar every single
Did you
week.
Come? Did you go to the office?
I did go to the
wow.
office, but I shut the door and I had this block in my calendar every week to do it. And at first it was hard. I would come up with the excuse, you know, why I really didn't get to it till the last 15 minutes of that block. But over time, it got a lot easier.
I had to hide at the house, and I called it my 50 Friday plan. I did 50 Fridays, and I hid at the house, and nobody could call me unless the building was burning down and the fire department was not responding.
It's hard, isn't it?
It is. But, well, speaking of hard, you know, one of the things that we have to be, of course, careful of is the risks that can affect people's wealth, their assets. And so let's talk a little bit about that. How do we identify them, and then how do we deal with them?
Well, I think that, you know, to talk broader a second, is we need to help clients think about all the risks in their life, you know, or in their wealth, I should say. So, of course, that includes all the different things that you can insure away. And so, you know, we can insure away an awful lot of health risk with insurance. We can insure away a lot of risk in our home. So I like to help people think through all the things that you can almost completely insure away and how we do that. And then what we're left with is our investment accounts. And you can't insure completely that risk away.
Yeah.
There are those that will provide a product to you that suggests it has incredible insurance, and some of them work, and we've seen some of them blow up. So I think we need to admit that that's there. And I think the step then is to understand anything you're going to buy in a public market has a risk of going down.
Well, that's so, you know, that's one of the things I talk about in my book, Liz, and that's perfect. And I know you know this, and for our listeners, you know, the basic definition of a security, which is what you're talking about in terms of being on the public market, the basic definition is it can go up and down by definition.
Exactly.
And people, you know, everybody wants, I would like to have that 20% money market account that can't go down, but just up, but that's not reality.
No, it isn't. And I think that if there's anything we learned coming out of 2008 with our clients is that all these traditional approaches to figuring out risk tolerance didn't really tell us anything truthful about where our clients really lie. So
no.
I really like to talk about, you know, are you truly comfortable having 100% of this, having the ability to go up and down?
And
what,
I know
what
that, and it's
are you comfortable with?
Yeah, and it's a bit of a rhetorical question because we know the answer is no. I mean, it's like it would be almost as effective in terms of an investment questionnaire or risk tolerance questionnaire, which, of course, as you know, Liz, a lot of people don't know what the heck we're talking about. We'd be better off setting their tennis shoes on fire, okay,
right,
and see how long it takes before they get up and start dancing.
Well, I'm sure you have the same experience as I, that a lot of people will come in and, you know, just flop down comfortably in a chair in your office and look at you and say, I have moderate risk.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it's, you know,
moderate until it goes down.
Described as moderate risk until we talk real life situations. So the next thing is I like to take that idea of how much are you really comfortable exposing to this up and down, and then let's talk about what are the consequences of not reaching these goals. That, to me, is where your real risk lies.
Yeah, there's a risk of losing money. There's a risk of not attaining your goals, and there's a lot of these things. And, you know, I always put it in dollars. I read that somewhere, and it stuck. You know, a simple example, if somebody's got $100,000 and you say, okay, are you comfortable with 10% loss? Yeah, I could be okay with that. What if you lose 10 grand? Oh, I don't want to lose $10,000.
Right.
I mean, so we always got to keep it in dollars because that's, you know, us percentages are for CFAs and CFPs, Liz, but, you know, we got to make sure that people get what we're talking about.
Agreed completely. And I think the final piece to that risk is then when you can get people to talk about how much are they willing to expose, how much truly do they understand has downside. Well, then what kind of returns are reasonable from those allocations, and does that get you to the goals? Because when you have someone who's risk-averse, and, you know, I mean, it is the incredibly wealthy person that truly can have an entire portfolio in fixed income, because even that is probably going to lose, well, definitely going to lose out to inflation right now.
Yeah.
So then you have to start walking people off of that, and that's how I like to walk them through it.
Well, you know what it really boils down to? I think no matter what, Liz, there's a risk. The question is, are they comfortable with that particular risk as opposed to the other risks?
Exactly. And I think when you help them realize all the other risk in their wealth that they've taken care of, and you circle back with them and make sure you've helped them take care of it, that also puts it in perspective.
Very good, Liz. Liz Miller's on the line with us. CFA, CFP, clutterfreewealth.com is a website and the book. One last quick break. We'll be right back with Liz Miller.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
And we're back. Liz Miller, CFP, CFA, clutterfreewealth.com, and that's also the name of the book. We got a couple minutes left, Liz, and it seems fitting to leaving a legacy and also addressing the basic needs for people for estate planning. And I know I'm not an attorney, and I didn't see in your biography that you're an attorney. So for our listeners, we're talking as planners as it relates to estate and such planning. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, again, in the book we do have a chapter where we start it with, here's your clutter-free estate plan. You know, there's five basic steps that will get you pretty far. And we want to make sure everybody has those, no matter really what their situation. And the moment you have children, even if you have no wealth at all, you need to have a will because you need to worry about the custodianship of your children. So I like to, again, liken this a little bit to this idea of clutter. I say your estate plan is kind of like your wardrobe. You know, once you've cleaned it all out, you want really high-quality basics in there. And that's what you need. You need a basic will. You need a high-quality health care directive. You need to make sure all your titling and assets are consistent. And that's your core wardrobe. And over time, you might go back for some additional accessories and get more fashionable pieces, particularly as you get older and your issues become more intense. But everyone's got to have that core classic wardrobe.
Can I have you talk to my wife about her closet? I've tried many times to clean it out, and she just won't let me do it. No, she won't. She won't. I take half her clothes out, and she's like, no, I still wear that once every 3 years. I'm like, okay. Now, actually, it reminds me of I was in the attic getting the Christmas tree down, and I ended up cleaning out the attic. I was like, oh, my gosh. But it's so true because, you know, you need the basics, and you need to make sure you've got good quality basics. You don't need fancy done poorly. You need high-quality stuff that's done well. And I am sure you've seen, as I have, Liz, estate plans and documents done poorly, and the problems that can happen when people try to go cheap, they try to do the self-help form, or they've gone with the very, very low-cost product solution, and it just doesn't work.
Exactly. And the other one I've seen that shocks me is people that come in with, you know, really successful families who have accumulated a nice amount of wealth who have nothing.
Yeah.
And it's
oh, yeah.
not because they haven't addressed it. It's just they find the entire process so overwhelming. Or they've had the initial meeting with an estate planning attorney, and it all made sense sitting there at the table, and they nodded, and they walked outside, and they looked at each other and couldn't remember a thing that was said. So that's the other reason I talk about, you know, let's just get the basics. Don't get overwhelmed by all the follow-up steps.
All right.
You
well, for more,
go back to them.
Very good. And for more basics, clutterfreewealth.com, and that's the book, Liz Miller, CFA, CFP. Liz, we're out of time. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.